The scripture has been written for our encouragement and not discouragement. There's not a single verse that's written to discourage us. And I thought we could just look at the type of people whom Jesus chose to be his apostles. And we know from the Gospels something about some of these people and what they were like. And Jesus knew that when he called them. He was not ignorant. We read in Luke 6 that he prayed a whole night, Luke 6:12, and then chose the disciples. See, even Jesus, whose mind was so perfect and sinless, he didn't look around and say, okay, I think these are the good ones. He had some opinions, I'm sure, about who were the 12 he wanted to choose. But you see his humility in the fact that he did not lean upon his own reason. Even though, unlike us, his reason was perfect and sinless. That's a great example for us, that a person who was sinless and perfect still did not lean upon his own reason when taking a major decision, but waited a whole night in prayer and then decided, maybe I should show you that passage. That's in Luke chapter 6. We read verse 12. It was at this time that he went off into the mountain and spent the whole night in prayer. And then when day came, he called his 12 disciples. He had many disciples. And he chose 12 from among them and named them apostles. So the point is that he spent a whole night in prayer to be sure that those whom he had thought of were also God's choice. And there we see something of his humility. I see so many believers taking major decisions merely based on what they think is right. Now, it may be right, but if you're humble, you'll wait on the Lord, and the more important the decision, the longer you will wait on the Lord. I mean, if it is just, we read of another place where Jesus prayed just for a couple of hours, and that's in Luke chapter 4, and because he just needed to know, shall I stay here or go to the next place? And then after a few hours of prayer in the morning, we read in Luke 4, verse 42 and 43, that he said, no, I have to go somewhere else. That was not a major decision. It was important. He prayed about everything. But when it came to something that had long-term consequences, because these are the 12 people who are going to establish the church, which is going to last for 2,000 years. So please remember this, that the more important the decision you have to take, the longer you must wait upon God. I'm amazed how so many young people decide on marriage nowadays. Just like that, they see a pretty girl and they say, yeah, she's a believer, she's part of CFC, so I'll marry her. Or he's a handsome guy and he seems to have a good job, so I'll marry him. I can predict that it's going to be a very shaky marriage. They won't divorce because divorce is uncommon in India. But it's not the type of marriage that honors God, where it may be the right person, but the fact that you go into it without waiting on the Lord shows that you don't care much for God's opinion. You got your opinion, you asked one or two brothers, and that's it. Jesus was not like that. And if you're to walk like Jesus, here's something you can learn. And when you wait on the Lord, you don't make a mistake. That I'll tell you. And Jesus did not make a mistake, and I'll show you that even in his choice of Judas Iscariot. So, when it came in the morning, he was also not bothered about who's going to be offended. You mean, here are 100 disciples, and Jesus, okay, Peter, you come here, and Andrew, I'm going to pick 12 disciples, and everybody's waiting, wondering whether their name will be called, and at the end of the 12, their names are not called. And then some of them may be wondering, when they know what some of these guys were like, how in the world did he choose this person? How in the world did he choose that person, and not me? Sometimes when elders are chosen in a church, there are people who long to be elders who sit there and think, why was not I not chosen? Why that person? Or when people want to be invited to speak in a conference, they wonder, why wasn't I chosen? Why that person? See, these are little moments when we can discover what high thoughts we have about ourselves. And if we judge ourselves, we can become spiritual. Then God will give us grace. It's wonderful to live in this world expecting nothing. Expecting nothing from man, but expecting everything from God and believing that what God wants me to have, no man can ever stop me from having. You know, when I was young, I remember, because God gave me a gift to preach when I was 23, believe it or not. I sought God for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I sought God for the gift of prophecy, and He gave it to me. But that is His sovereign choice. I don't say it was anything special. But there were many other people in the church I used to attend those days who were very jealous of my ministry, and they would never, never let me speak. Because they discovered that a lot of people were more interested in listening to me than to them. So the best way is to keep me silent. I said, fine. God knows when I should speak, and He gave me opportunities here and there. I would go in the streets and preach. That's where I actually learned to preach. There I didn't need anybody's permission. But what I've learned through the years is that so many people in my life have tried to suppress me in so many ways. Even in building CFC through the years, if you know the history of it, very few people know about it. So many people have tried to oppose us and crush us and do so many things to destroy us. They have never succeeded. Because we did not depend on man. We say, Lord, if this is Your work, prosper it. If it's not Your work, I'll be the first to close it down. I'm not interested in doing anything on earth which is not the will of God, because it won't last forever. Why in the world should we waste our time doing something that's not going to last forever? I would never want to be a part of a church which is not going to be approved by God. Never. I don't want to get out as soon as possible. I don't care who's offended. That's what I did in many places. So it's wonderful to recognize, Lord, my reason seems to say this is the right thing to do, but I don't want to depend on my own understanding. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding, and He will direct you in all your paths. That's in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Jesus obeyed that. So He looked at His 100 disciples and felt, these are the 12 I have in mind, but I want to be sure. And He didn't just pray, Father, just show me, are these the 12? Here are the names I have. Yeah, thank You, Lord. I believe You'll guide me. No. He spent a whole night. Have you ever thought, a whole night, let's say He went to started praying at 10 o'clock and finished at 6 in the morning or even 5 in the morning. 7 hours. What would you do if you went to the Lord and spent 7 hours? I don't know whether you were sitting or kneeling, that doesn't matter, but 7 hours before God, what would you talk to Him? What would you talk to the Lord even if you spent 1 hour with Him? Have you ever tried it? I think Jesus was listening more than talking. Like I've often said, to me, prayer is more listening than talking. And I've often used the example, I'll repeat it again. If you are speaking to a younger person, you talk more than you listen. Because he's younger, he needs your advice. If you're talking to a much more godly person, I hope you will listen more than you talk, because he's got more to tell you than you can tell him. So imagine if you're talking to Almighty God Himself. What do you think you should do? Talk or listen? It's very clear. And yet, I'll tell you, most Christians, except perhaps some who have listened to me, ask yourself, don't you spend more time talking? Lord, I need this, I need this, I need that. Even what you call praise, I'm telling Him this, that, and the other. It's all good. But I want to tell you, learn to listen. And I believe that when Jesus spent the whole night in prayer, He was listening.